It's Racing HQ at 13 after 9, as you heard just prior to 9 o'clock. He's live in our French's Forest studio with us this morning, Blake Shin. Morning to you, Blake.
Good morning, Andrew. It's great to be sitting here beside you, and a big hello to all the loyal listeners who are tuning in.
Yeah, fantastic to have you, the opportunity. The timing isn't quite right after yesterday, is it, at this battle for the Sydney Jockeys Premiership? We all thought it was you and McDonald, and here comes Hugh Bowman with four winners.
Yeah, Hughie's gone right into the driver's seat, but look, it's great for racing. It's winter racing, the premiership battle. It's very intriguing, and look, I feel very lucky to even be in a position where I am to be contesting for a premiership.
Yeah,
but, Hughie's a great rider, and full credit to him. Yesterday was his day.
Yeah, it certainly was. We invite your calls. We're going to talk to Blake predominantly about his career and rides today and rides on the weekend and everything like that. But we also invite your calls on 1353 53. If you'd like to give us a call, 1353 53. Blake, we build up this premiership. The George Moore Medal, you won one, I think, in the year of EI. I think you beat your good mate from Victoria, Nash, by three in that shortened year. What's it mean to a jockey winning, say, the George Moore Medal?
I think it means a lot, Andrew. This is what we work for every year. Especially as elite athletes, you put your heart and soul into your career, and you strive to be the best, and hopefully you can come out on top. And it's tough. Especially if you get beaten, and whoever gets beaten in a premiership for one of us, you're gonna feel
disappointment.
That comes with the territory, but. It means a great deal, and I'm sure whoever wins it's going to, be really satisfied, and, certainly thoroughly deserved.
Your life's changed along the way, as we all do when we grow into our life and experience all sorts of different things. But, mate, I'm stunned. You're still only... Were you 28 in September, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Gee, mate, it feels like you've been around for an eternity already. Your family was in racing, that's been well documented, but how many years have you been riding for?
Look, I had my first race ride in May 2003, and as you said, I feel like I've been around a while. It's been a journey. My career has been a bit of a roller coaster ride, but I've had a very successful career. I've had some great support. I've had a lot of great memories. I feel there's still a lot to come. Mm. I've got a lot of goals I want to do and have set out to try and achieve. And, as I've said, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, but we're back on track now and it's full steam ahead, and I can't wait for the future.
I remember getting a call, I think it was from your manager, or it might have even been from you, saying that you're moving to Sydney. There you were. You were giving up your home base of Victoria and coming up to start with to be joined with Gay Waterhouse. Was that looking back on it now, as hindsight's a wonderful thing, how do you see that now, the move that you've made into this state?
Look, I think it was a fantastic move. It was a great opportunity. When you get an opportunity to come and work for a trainer like Gay Waterhouse, who's just a great ambassador. She's one of the best trainers in the world. She's an amazing lady, and I've got so much admiration for her. When I look back. It was a great stepping stone for my career at the time, and I was very successful. I won the premiership. I won so many races for her, and then I won a Melbourne Cup when I was with her. And it was a great time of my life riding for her for a couple of years.
You mentioned you rode View to win that thrilling Melbourne Cup in 2008. At the time you were with Gay, was she helpful going into a race like that? Had you ridden in that race before? How much guidance did she give you?
I had ridden in the race before. I think I had my first ride in it maybe in 2000 and, oh geez, it might have been 2000. 5, yeah, Andrew. Actually, right. Funny, I picked the ride up on the day. Michael Walker couldn't make the weight on a horse called Catch Me If You Can. And, yeah, I had no preparation. I was there on the day and just picked the ride. Yeah, so it was...
You didn't really have time to worry about it.
I was a little young kid, had no idea what the whole event was. I was just there and, yeah, it was amazing. But, you know, Gay really helped me because... When you're with a lady like her, she has runners in all the big races. She's in the spotlight, and she helps you. She helps you with those occasions. And for a young kid, I think you need guidance. And she certainly helped me be on the big stage and compete at that level.
Yeah, and you've stayed at that level. You know, you've had your ups and downs, which we'll talk about further on, but you've got to maintain that level, haven't you? Once you've reached the sort of around that top 10 jockeys, you've got to stay there. You've got to put in the hard yards.
Well, you do, Andrew, and it's so hard to maintain the level and be at that top elite level. And you know, after winning that Melbourne Cup, I, to be honest, I did probably take it for granted, and you know, and that's why I probably went downhill in my career, and it was my choice to leave Gay Waterhouse, and that's probably why I went downhill, and I had to grit my teeth and work probably 3-4 times as hard to get on this journey back to where I am now, and it's been an incredible ride, and now I just really work hard. I appreciate everything that I have. You know, I love my relationships. I love the people that I have around me, and I'm very thankful for everything I have.
Blake, you mentioned there the road that we all have. When you won on Viewed, you were in your low 20s. I mean, we often as punters bag jockeys and things like that, but I guess we tend to forget also that you are young kids, aren't you? Often, you know, we see jockeys start riding at 17. I can't, you know, all the things that I did between 17 and 25, I'd hate to talk about. I mean, we're young people, aren't we?
Yeah, that's it. I think you know, sometimes young kids, and like I was so lucky that my stepdad instilled some pretty good values when I was young, which were like to work hard and try and hang around the right people, and you know, all these things that, you know, that can get thrown in your face, to that other kids can get caught up in. And I was very lucky that I didn't get caught up in it when I was young through my apprenticeship, and I was very focused and driven. But you know, I did sort of run off the path a little bit. But,
so when you won the Melbourne Cup, it probably wasn't the time, you know, it just happened that you felt, oh, I can win it next year too. Like,
yes.
Is that how you felt?
Yes. And then I probably thought it was a little bit too easy. And then, you know, I probably needed that kick in the backside to put me back on that path. And, you know, I've straight back on that path after about 12 months, and it took me a long time to earn the respect back from the people in the industry. And, you know, I did let a lot of people down, but the biggest person I let down was probably myself. And, yeah, like I said, we're back on that path now, and I'll be on it for a long time.
Blake, a part of that was the betting stories that evolved, and you stepped out of racing. You were stood down, disqualified, I think, for 15 months. Looking back on it, you talked that you lost your way. Was that a part of it as well, that you were betting because you lost your way?
Yeah, look, I did, Andrew, because, see, in racing, you get so consumed in riding and, yeah, and working, and betting was, for me, it was like it was an outlet. It was a release, and that's all I sort of knew. I'd work, and then when I finished work, I would just go home and bet on, say, trots or dogs, yeah, or if I had a day off, I'd bet on races I wasn't riding in. So, yeah. Now that I've got that addiction out of my blood. I've focused on other avenues where I can go and do stuff where I'm not, when I'm not riding, and you know, I've go and spend time with friends and family and train and.
So you're not sitting at home and yeah, stewing over what you could be doing.
That's right, and I live a totally different lifestyle now, and I'm so much happier. My riding's improved so much, and my family is so much happier, and things are going really well, and I couldn't be happier.
I don't want to talk about it too much, but I'll ask one more if I can. When you were trying to get out of the habit of having a bed, I mean, how hard was that? I mean, it wasn't probably a case of putting the key in and turning it and away you go. You were fixed. How long did that take you?
It took probably, I think it probably took at least nearly 9 to 12 months.
Yeah.
Because at times you do, when you have an addiction, you can tend to have relapses. Yeah. And I was very lucky that I had a strong support group around me. I had counsellors and all that, and we worked through it all. And you have to beat the problem, and I did. And I worked very strongly, and it's mental toughness. And to be honest, you don't want to let the people around you down, and that's what drives me not to go back to the habits of and the problem that I had.
You mentioned your family back home at Kilmore, Lee and Shannon Hope, and your mum. They've tweeted this morning, retweeted something that I put out. They obviously thrive on watching you do what you do here in New South Wales. At that time, how important were they back home?
Yeah, look.
And now, you know, they obviously support you from a distance.
Yeah, I'm so blessed to have the family that I do. My stepdad and my mum, they're just such beautiful...
beautiful people.
They are. Yeah, yeah, look, my stepdad, he's raised me since I was 6 months old, and, you know, I do get emotional talking about him now, but... he's been such an important part of my life, and all my family want is for Blake Shin to be happy, and I just want to make my family proud.
Yeah, fantastic. A great emotion there. Blake, we've been a bit heavy for obvious reasons there with that subject. We're not used to taking talk back on a Thursday morning on Racing HQ. We haven't had a call yet, but... I invite our listeners, if you'd like to have a chat with Blake, yeah, you certainly can at 13:53:53. I want to lighten the mood a little bit. In recent times, the pants. April 23 this year changed your life at Canterbury with Miss Royale. At the time, you were blown away just how big it was when the dud slipped down, didn't you?
Yeah, that's correct. Geez.
Could you believe it? I mean, once you got off the horse and walked in, and then the phone calls and things, could you believe just how big it took off?
I couldn't, Andrew. It was it did blow me away, and you know, it was something that it just created worldwide exposure, and you know, it was something that I had to deal with in a good way, because it did. Get our sport out there, and you know, I had to run with it as best I could, and yeah, I did a lot of media coverage, and
who did you talk to around the world? I mean, obviously everyone here in Australia wanted you, but did you get a call from anyone overseas and you thought, how in the hell did they see it?
Dude, I went up to Dubai. I went on Dubai radio. Yeah. To be honest, I can't even remember who I spoke to. There were
so many of them.
There were so many, and Ashley McGregor, his husband Jamie, was a big help. You know, we auctioned the silks off and raised some money for charity, and tried to do little things like that. And yeah, so to be honest, I'm glad it's over.
At the time, at about the 2:250, you're riding a horse at high speed trying to win the race. Could you sense what was going on behind you?
I could sense that they were coming down, and to be honest, I just had the victory at the forefront of my mind, and the backside at the back of my mind.
Yeah.
But
at least you won.
I was just hoping that the video wasn't going to be on me.
It certainly was. Miss Royale never go down. Gary's joining us on 1353.53. We're talking to Blake Shin for another half an hour. Don't ring at 10 to 10 and expect to be a Russo. You can ring in now and talk to Blake. He's happy to talk about anything. Good morning to you, Gary.
How are you, Blake and Andrew?
Morning, Gary.
Just a quick question, Andrew. Oh, sorry, Blake, in relation to your riding in Singapore there a week or so back. You rode a couple of winners. What were your thoughts on the quality of the horses that you rode?
Look, I obviously rode a couple of horses there and a few winners. The horses, overall, they're not up to the quality of Sydney and Melbourne. The horse I won on, a staying horse, Squires Olbston, something, I forget the last name, but he's a staying horse of some promise. He had form lines behind Contributor. I don't think he's going as well as he could be, but I think that's because of the adapting to the acclimatising to the weather there. But I certainly don't feel the level of competition is up to the Sydney or Melbourne ranks, that's for sure.
How's that, Gary?
Thanks very much. I think the second winner you rode on Newlands, I think he's a better quality horse than, I think he'd stand up to New South Wales and Australian racing, mate.
Yeah, he's a staying type of horse. He's related to... Pardon?
I bred him.
Oh, dear.
No wonder you're pushing up, Gary. Hang on a sec. What's going on here?
I bred Twickenham as well, and I bred his full brother, Black Eyes.
Okay, yeah. No, look, Twickenham, he's a staying horse. He's got, he's got plenty of improvement in him. He's just going to get better with age. But yeah. Like I said, as an overall standard, the quality isn't as good as Sydney and Melbourne. Well, that's my opinion.
Good on you, Gary. Good breeding, mate.
Thank you.
Okay, Gary there, 1353.53 to talk to Blake Shin here on Racing HQ. Good morning to you, Pete.
Good morning, Andrew. How you going, mate?
Very well. What's your question there of jockey Blake Shin this morning?
I'd just like to go back over the last couple of years. I've watched Blake pretty closely and... For a little while there, I don't think he was riding on his best, but you can definitely see that now he's one of the top jockeys in Australia. And Blake, it's truly the credit to you how you've performed, mate. Keep it up. And I'd just like to know if you've got anything left for the spring that we might keep an eye on for the big races.
Well, thanks, Gary, for your kind words. Look, for the spring, I think...
Hang on, you've got to give one. Starts with P.
Pornichet.
Oh, you've got to mention Pornichet, haven't you?
Definitely Pornichet. He trialled really nicely the other day. He's being set for the Cox Plate. There's a filly of Toby Edmonds's that I rode in Brisbane called Sagarone. She's a horse that could measure up to a VRC Oaks. She's owned by Sedge, and I've got a big opinion of her. Gay Waterhouse has got plenty of ammunition, and I think that she's a stable that's certainly worth following through the spring.
Okay. Pornichet, obviously, is Cox Plate bound and probably trials again, but gave you a good one earlier this week.
He did, Andrew, yeah. He's come back in good order. He's a little bit tubby, but, he's going to make his presence felt.
Good on you, Pete. Good luck today, mate, on the punt there. We're going to talk to Blake between now and 10 about his Gosford rides and on Saturday. Let's go to John. Good morning to you, John.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Blake.
Good morning, John.
Always been a follower of you, Blake. I had some dealings very early. You rode a horse for us. I won't go which one it was now, but he did run 100.
You bag him on the day, John, or what?
Sorry?
Did you bag him on the day for running third?
No. He rode well. Just the horse wasn't ready at the time. But just as a syndicate owner, we find it very hard to get top jockeys on our horse. Now, is that an issue for all syndicators that it's very hard for the small syndicator to get top jockeys on?
Look, John. I think it is not so much. It's hard. It's who's your horse with? Sorry,
a small trainer.
Yeah. Look, to be honest, it is difficult. My main stables are Peter Snowd and Gay and.
And you've got to get in early, haven't you?
It's hard.
Yeah.
And my agent does a lot of my rides, and I leave my business up to him.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and like you said, Andrew, you trainers are ringing up 14 days before and, you know, trying to get the best rides, and that's what his aim is to do.
Yeah. So, I reckon the tip would be, John, without telling anybody their own business, but I think the earlier, like if your trainer contacted Brian Haskins, who looks after Blake, and says, I've got this horse that I'm aiming towards August 25, can you keep us in mind? I think that you've got to work sort of 2, 3, 4 weeks in front.
And don't get me wrong, there's no greater satisfaction for myself riding winners for, you know, the lesser state.
Or whoever it may be.
Whoever it may be. And, you know, my family's country, from the country, and I know how important it is for for any people. So, if I can ride your horse, it would be a great thrill, and hopefully one day I can.
John, get in contact with his manager and start lining it up. Good luck, mate.
Hey, mate, take care, both of you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, John. John there. Let's go down to Dave. He wants to talk about the Melbourne Cup. Good morning to you, Dave.
Yeah, good morning, Blake.
Good morning,
Andrew.
Dave.
Yeah, Blake, I'm just interested. Can you talk a bit about what it's actually like prepping for a Melbourne Cup ride, maybe from, you know, when you wake up in the morning and what the day's like, and then what zone you get into whilst you're actually riding in the race?
Yeah, look, see, the Melbourne Cup, it's such a great event. It's a big event. It's like the grand final. It's the US Open. It's one of the biggest sporting events in the world. And mentally, it's the preparation. You know, I think I prepare pretty similar to that race to most races. You know, I do my form very thoroughly. I train hard. But I think what's different about the Melbourne Cup is just the history, the race itself being one of the biggest races.
And the build-up to it all.
And the build-up. Yeah. And my preparation, I don't feel I prepared differently to that race than others, because I think I'm professional in every way, and I treat every race the same. But
and what's it like? What's it like for a jock when you come out? You're introduced on Melbourne Cup Day. You get on your horse. That going out onto the track. We talk about the winner coming back, but what's it like going out?
Well, that's the part of the event, Andrew, and that's the special thing about the Melbourne Cup and being involved in it. And to be honest, it's like, for a jockey, it's just a dream. Even the riding and driving in the Cup parade and being involved in that as a rider.
Guy Walter, we mentioned Gay Waterhouse earlier, just how important she was, but Guy Walter tragically is no longer with us, but he was so important also in a time where you came out of that disqualification and he was there really with such a good team for you.
He was, Andrew. I was, you know, when Guy Walter passed away, it was, you know, one of the most, you know, saddest things of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a father figure to me, Guy, and a trainer that really instilled so much confidence in me as a rider. Yeah. And you know, he was such
what
a good.
I mean, just the way he spoke to you, the way that he asked you to ride his horses. What was it? What was the click?
Look, he just what I loved about Guy Walter as a person was, you know, he was very inspirational, and he always made people feel warm, and that they were somebody. Mm. And that's what I loved about him. And if they were feeling bad or they were down, he always knew how to lift them up. And that's what I loved. And I'm a person that very hard on myself and self-critical, and I remember a day where I rode a horse at Hawkesbury. Remember it vividly. Mm. And it was a horse called Strictly Concert.
Right.
And it should have won by
the lengths.
Panels.
Yeah.
Should have won by panels.
Where'd you finish?
Second.
Right.
And I'd say a few of the followers and punters
would remember.
Did their money on it. And
you came back?
And I came back. Mm. And I thought I would have copped a bollocking. And I'd never ever had a run-in with Guy before. And
you were waiting for it.
And, yeah, I was waiting for it. And I come in and I apologise and I was down. And he said, mate, don't worry. I thought you read it good.
Yeah, so
thought you'd done the right thing. And the stewards called me in and asked me the question of why I potted a path. And he knew that I was that down and I was feeling it, but he just had a way about him to make you feel that, or me feel like that, you know.
Yeah.
I was doing the right thing, and he always knew that I was out there giving my all for him. And he was just a very good man, and it was a very tough time. And when he passed away, it was so sad, not just for me, but for the whole people around him, and for the staff, for obviously his wife Wendy, and when the closure of that day, it was brilliant. When I won on Life Got the Looks, it was one of the most satisfying things to do it for him. And the world's
missing a great bloke.
Missing a great bloke, for sure.
I want to, Harold, just hold on, Harold. I promise you this will make it a short answer, Blake, because Harold's been on the line for a little while. What was the best horse of Guy Walters that you rode?
Definitely Appearance.
Appearance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Streamer was great.
Yeah. I think most people would have thought you would have said Streamer.
Streamer was great. Appearance was, you know, really good.
Although Huey rode Streamer a bit, didn't he?
Yes, but I will say that moment when I went on Streamer in that Doomben Cup, you know, that was such a special moment. We rejuvenated her career to get her back to win at Group 1 level after struggling in the autumn. And we felt such a sense of achievement and we had really, you know, done something for that horse. And it was very special. And then a week later, He had left this guy, and it was so sad.
It was 13:53:53. We're taking your calls, Harold. Thanks for holding on.
Okay, I'm all right. Good morning, Glenn. And not Glenn.
Come on, Harold. It's Andrew and Blake. I'm going to have to call. I'm going to have to cut you off if you're going. Glenn.
I'm thinking, you know what I was thinking? I'm Munji.
Yeah, I know who you were thinking. That's why I'm going to cut you off. What's your question to Blake?
All right, mate. Listen, Blake, I was wondering what your opinion, because the big thing in racing at the moment with Sydney, is your opinion on synthetic tracks.
Look, I, to be honest, I don't really have a firm opinion because I haven't had much to do with them. I know we need a synthetic or a poly track. I feel we certainly need an artificial track in Sydney, because obviously the winter tracks, the grass tracks through winter aren't coping that well. And if we can have a track or an artificial track or some sort that we can race on to take the pressure off these grass tracks would really help, but it's just getting the right one. And if we can, racing will be so much better for it.
Blake, have you been on the Kensington track of late?
I did go up on it about maybe 3 weeks ago. Yeah. And
was it any different? I mean, many people are suggesting, you know, do we dig up the Kenzo and put in a synthetic or whatever sort of track there? I mean, was it improving, do you feel?
I don't feel it was. We did go probably 100 horses on it and it deteriorated quite quickly. Andrew, I do feel that why can't we put something there? We have got the Randwick track. Why couldn't we put an all-weather track or something there? Eventually, hopefully, we could get lights there. It's in the heart of Sydney. We're going to get race goers there. We could get night racing. It could be the plague years to come, and we could get like Hong Kong.
Yeah, exactly. Harold, I hope he's answered your question in some sort of way, mate. Harold joining us there at 13 to 10. You mentioned Streamer and the emotion of winning the Doomben Cup, knowing what, you know, we didn't know at the time, but what happened shortly after. But Pornichet's win of the Doomben Cup this year, from a spring point of view, I mean, we don't know yet how strong that Doomben Cup form was, but the way that the horse did it, I guess, was the most impressive. Has he given you in that race the spring carnival sort of touch?
He did, Andrew, yeah. This horse has got the X factor about him. He's so tough. He cops work. He's had a bit of a let up since that Doom and Cup win, and he's, you know, he enjoys life, this horse.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep the work up to him, and he got better into that prep, you know, and that win in that Doom and Cup, they went a solid speed, and he trounced, you know. They might not have been, you know, the A grade Group 1 horses, but he made them look second rate, and he gave me the feel of a really top class racehorse.
As I say, he trialled earlier in the week and you rode him, and we're looking forward to seeing him in a race and head towards the Cox Plate. More calls shortly on 1353 53. We're talking with Blake Shin. Hope you've enjoyed it. We've still got 9 minutes to go, and Max is online on the talkback. Morning to you, Max.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Very well indeed.
Yeah, very informative half an hour this morning. And, Blake, well done on paint yesterday. It was a great ride.
Thanks, Max.
He needed it too after Huey rode 4.
I know. Maybe he can go coach Manly and get them up the ladder as well. But just my question, a little bit out of the ballpark. What's your favourite track, Blake, that you like to ride on more than anywhere else?
Max, I love riding at Royal Randwick, particularly because I ride it well because I like to get horses very balanced. You can be very patient. Runs appear because other riders take off from the 600, and you can wait and like track up, and horses can be vulnerable because of the rise, and right. If you can be patient, you can get there late, and it suits my style of riding, and it's a great track, suits every horse, and yeah, it's probably my favourite track.
Oh, good to know, and mate, have a good day at Gosford today. Thanks for that.
Well, we've copped the one tip, Max, haven't we? French Emotion, race 2, number 4.
It looks pretty good. I've backed it a few times, and I think it's overdue, so look forward to that.
Good on you. Thanks, Max. Max, Daryl's asked us off air, any rides cemented outside Pornichet for the spring ahead? Have you got anything else coming through in the early stages?
Look, I don't think so. Nothing's set in concrete. I'd say he's the only one that I've got a probably firm commitment too early at this stage.
Yep, fair enough. You mentioned, Max mentioned the carnivals, or mentioned the favourite track, but carnivals have become so big around New South Wales. In no particular order here, Albury Wagga, Grafton, are just three or four there. Grafton was, I was away, but it was huge again when you won the cap and the Prime Minister was there.
Yes, that's right. Tony Abbott was there. And Andrew, these carnivals are the grassroots of racing, and I love going there. And you know, a lot of our senior jockeys and top class riders go there, and it's great that we can go there and support them, and it's great for the tracks. And
you were telling us the response with Bonfire when it won, that coming back in was just unbelievable.
The response was great. You know, the crowd really, you know, in me and Bonfire, and it was very special. Mr. Abbott was there, and I did get to meet, you know, his mother and father at the presentation, and that was very special. John Massara was there, and Peter McGoran and Peter Valandis, and to win that race in front of some great racing identities was a big thrill.
Yeah, fantastic. You mentioned with TK and Slats just prior to 9 o'clock that you're off to Ascot. Now, you went there the week of Royal Ascot, you were suspended, and you went there and enjoyed that week. But to go and ride in the Shergar series coming up for the first time at such a famous track, you're looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's very surreal to get an opportunity, an invitation to ride at such a prestigious event, Andrew. And I have to pinch myself to represent Australia alongside one of our great riders, Kieran McAvoy, and hopefully we can do our country proud ride well and ride a couple of winners.
I want to ask about international ambitions. bit of Twitter activity earlier this year when licences came out for Hong Kong. Is this something that you'd like to do into the future? Do you feel that what we've spoken about this morning, and you were very frank about your life there disqualified for betting, do you feel that play still plays a role in maybe the ambitions going forward?
Possibly it does, Andrew, but it doesn't get in front of the way of my vision and my dream going forward. I've always had a vision to and seen myself hopefully competing on the world stage, and I worked so hard and behind the scenes and to try and achieve that goal. Hopefully one day I'll fulfill it. And riding at Ascot, it has happened suddenly, but yeah, it's a great opportunity. And you know, that's where I see myself competing on the world stage and riding alongside the likes of Frankie Dettori and Ryan Moore and on that level. And
I mean, I'll be honest, we don't want to lose you. I know you've got ambitions, and we all have. We all have ambitions, and we've got to have them to maintain life. We don't want to lose you, but the way you're talking, maybe UK is something that you're very keen on. I don't know whether, you know, Royal, this coming up in a few weeks might help you with this, but are we talking 2 years? Are we talking next year you'd like to do it? What's your feeling?
Well, to be honest, I just want to keep getting better, whether it's being better as, you know, being better as a person, better as a jockey. But in terms of my riding, I think going abroad and testing yourself on the world stage only is going to enhance your skills and developing. I went to Singapore and, you know, I was a little bit overawed by the occasion, but, you know, thankfully I did well and exceeded my expectations. But there are experiences that help you develop. Australia will always be my home. And I just want to hopefully set myself up, stay in Australia and go and ride abroad and compete on the world stage. If I can do that, I'll be happy. If I can't do that, well, I'll be giving it my best shot trying anyway.
No. Just briefly, because I want to talk about the premiership in a minute, but just before we finish, but take us through a day of Blake Shim when you don't ride. I mean, you still ride track work?
Yeah, I generally ride track work maybe 4 to 5 mornings a week.
Okay. With that, do you have fitness campaign outside that? Do you gym it? Do you exercise? What sort of things do you do?
Yeah, I generally do a boxing session if I don't ride. I get constant massages to...
Well, that'd be all right.
Well, yeah. I need them. You know, when we put...
When you put your body through so much.
You put your body through a lot. I sweat, you know, I sweat a lot. I generally sweat 4 to 5 days a week, but that's, I'd like to keep a routine to help manage my weight. And when I not ride, I spend time, you know, I like to spend time down with my friends that works in real estate, Coogee, David Lee at NG Farrah, who I did spend time with when I had time off. And yeah, he fills in time.
You just like to get away.
I like to get away, and I have a bit of downtime with him and some people who get me away from the track.
Yeah, understand. The premiership at the moment, the Sydney one is so close. Hughes now on 92, you and James McDonald on 90.5, so it continues on Saturday. The national one is also very interesting because at the moment you're equal with Dean Yendall at 140. With James on 142.5. So it's not only Sydney, but it's the Australian one that's going to go down to the wire as well.
Yeah, it's going to go down right to the wire at both premierships. So it's going to be a thrilling finish. I've worked hard to put myself in a position to win it. So hopefully I can, you know, put my hands on one of the trophies anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Now, French emotion. A lot of our listeners are going to be all over this today, mate. Don't give it a, what was the horse at Hawkesbury? Strictly Concert. Oh. Don't give it a Strictly Concert today, mate.
No, I promise I won't.
Race 2, number 4, French emotion. Saturday. Is there one in the mind? I've got the paper here in front of me, mate, but is there? Have you had a look at Saturday yet?
Yeah, I have. I think my best ride is Vanbrugh in race one.
Yeah.
He's drawn barrier two. He's had the benefit of a first-up run, which he narrowly got beat by a hard-fit horse, Surf and Safari. He's drawn a great gate, hardest to beats, ridden by James, drawn barrier one in a circle.
Yeah.
So we're going to get a great run. He's a quality horse. He's well-bred, and he should make his presence felt in race one on Saturday.
Righto. That's race one, number one for Canterbury. Blake, been great to have you in our studio here. I know you're about to go and pop on TV as well. To have you in our French's Forest studio to come in here straight after track work on the way to Gosford. You've been very frank on many views, and as I say, I think our listeners would have appreciated you coming on and being a part of it this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show, Andrew.
Good on you, Blake. Blake Shin joining us on Racing HQ. We'll do a bit more of this going into the spring and right through the spring special guests here on Racing HQ. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, looking towards Saturday, and there'll be lots of other racing news around. After the break, it's Tab Talk.